whom I have believed.
I know not by God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded to him against the day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know
know what's going to take and how it does and how the Spirit moves, and Jesus even told us that in John in chapter 3. You know, we don't know the wind, where it comes and where it goes, but you see the effects of it. Oh, and then when the move of the Spirit of God upon our hearts, what did you commit unto Christ? Your soul, Christian, your heart of belief, your trust in Him, your faith in Him. Yeah, and then you're trusting God. He's the one that's going to keep that. He's going to keep me no matter what. Against that day, the great day of the Lord, when we stand before Him, oh, ne'er should ever any one of His children ever be lost. Know that it is all in Christ, all in Christ, Christ alone. Turning in your Bibles this morning to Job chapter 20. And then a little later on, we'll make a reference to Matthew, Job chapter 28. And my dear church, I know I say this every year, and I mean it with all my heart. And it has to be that Mother's Day is the hardest of all sermons to know what to say and to wait upon the Lord. It's a most challenging time. Then you're probably wondering why you know this passage in Job in chapter 19, and then we'll make some reference a little later on, along with to Mother Zebedee, the mom of James and John. And so we have what brought this really to my heart, and I really did try to shake from it, and I couldn't. And so it is what the Lord wants to be brought in such a world of suffering and heartaches. And we wonder, you know, at times you deal with people, and we ourselves ask the questions, how can God, such a gracious God, bring these things to pass like this and permit this? And it is always for the greater good of His purpose, for even the things we do not understand. And you know, when a child suddenly dies, is called out, especially in the bud of youth, and we wonder why and how. Lord, help me to understand. And He says, I don't expect you to understand, for my ways are higher than your ways. I ask you to trust me, and I'll give you grace to do that. And in a world of suffering, we see it all over the world. We have witnessed this horrendous activities in Ukraine and that's going on by Russia and the slaughter of children. We read in the news about the slaughter of missionaries around the world and that are being martyred for Christ, and all the sufferings that goes on, and the pandemic. And of course, I failed to remember to mention, and thanking you for the prayers, our son-in-law went to Texas with a group and come back, and they had a fair week, so to say. It was a week of good ministry, but a week in which about half the team came down with COVID. And so they're on a healing way right now. They're safely back home. And so pray for them and all the sufferings that goes on from that, and all other diseases and untimely things, the sufferings in this world. It is just beyond measure. And how do we handle these things? And how do we rest in an almighty God, but except by faith in Him? Okay, so I think that in all matters, there's no heart like a mother's heart that holds and carries joys and concerns and heartaches. There's no other heart like that. And you think of, you know, all these that are being martyred for Christ, they got a mom somewhere, and there are more Christians being martyred than ever before. And we you know, and as I minister to this dear family, and there lay her, their beautiful 24-year-old daughter. And Lord, give me the words to say, and how to bring hope and peace in such a matter. And so I come here to the book of Job, and if you have read Job and you know the matters that Job went through as his faith was put through serious trial, and Job, as he lost everything, what did I say, lost what? Everything. Oh, and the attack of Satan upon his life, which God permitted. You can take everything he has, even his health, but you can't take his life, Satan. And in this record, which is perhaps the oldest book of the Bible, and we see the response of Job. He knew what it was to bury his wife, his kids, and his family. He lost everything. Why, God? And he goes through. But Job has a powerful word for us here in the text, in that you see Job's heart thousands of years prior to Christ's birth, prior to the cross, his solid rock belief in his Redeemer. And how much more than for us post-cross, post-resurrection, where we see so much of the greatness of God, We see the evidence of his resurrection. So we have a powerful faith here of Job. And then knowing that it is Christ who holds the heart and keeps us in the faith. It is he who keeps us no matter what. And you and I, from Sunday to Sunday, we have no clue, no idea what's going to happen in our life. And so therefore the need to have an anchor that is established strong and sure, as the old song says, in our Savior's love. Amen. 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 And so here in Job, so we just pick it up at verse 23 of chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved upon a rock with iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on this earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and it won't be someone else, to be Christ. How my heart yearns within me. And if you should say, how should we persecute him? Since the root of the matter is found in me. Be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment. God's holy word. Job, in all that he experienced, in all that we experience, in all the sufferings that we have and will have, and they shall increase, the storms, the pestilence, the damage. And Jesus says in his word, when trial and storms come upon you so suddenly, he says, please know, my child, they will not overtake you. When you walk through the darkest of a valley and your heart is busted and broken, when you're screaming for hope in God, know that I am with you. I am the Lord your God, and I will keep you. So Job here is giving praise unto the Lord. And who is this? Who is this he's talking about? And so we find right here, he's talking about Christ here in this chapter here in the Old Testament, which was one of the themes for the week. And that the one from Australia, his assignment was preaching Christ. Christ-centered preaching in the Old Testament. And right here is one example of this. I know that my Redeemer lives. Who is this? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had never seen and heard any reports of the cross because it hadn't happened yet. He did not know this. He did not meet Mary and the other disciples on the Emmaus Road. This is Job thousands of years before. He says, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Who is this? This is the Sovereign of the universe. He is the first and the last. He's the Son of God, the sacrifice for our sins. He is truly the shepherd of our hearts. He's the Savior of the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that in my flesh I shall see God in all that he had been through. A great book for you to immerse yourself in at any time when sorrows and sufferings are in your heart and losses that seem almost too much to bear. And just pouring over the word of God. This one whom he says is my Redeemer. This is the anointed one of God. This is for you and I. He was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the high priest forever, making intercession for us. Right now, this morning, as his word is being declared, he is praying for each and every one here, interceding that we may hear the word that Jesus has to say to our hearts. This is who he is. This is who Job says, I know whom I have believed. He declares, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Lives right there. He declares the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can this one who is Christ be Job's Redeemer? But unless the sacrifice for his sins has been made, And we know that Christ was slain in the eternal counsels of God, and all these in the Old Testament, they look forward with great hope, with great anticipation to Christ on Calvary's cross. That's going to happen someday. And they put their hope and trust in Christ, the very Son of God, that he will come and he will, on Calvary's tree, pay the price for my sins. That was their prayer. That was their hope. That was their belief, their hope, just the hope that you and I have today, hope in Jesus Christ. And so who is he to Job? He says, my. He says, my. He had placed his faith and trust. He's my Redeemer. Many, many are the numbers of people that believe, yeah, there is a Christ. I believe there is a God, but cannot say my. They cannot say, like the psalmist in 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The word there doesn't declare the Lord is a shepherd or the shepherd, but it goes even deeper than that because he's my shepherd. And when you have the Lord as your personal shepherd, great is your heart and your hope. And so this is, he says, he's my shepherd. Job makes it very personal. He said, he paid a ransom for me. It hasn't happened yet, but yet it already has. He's the Lord. He is my Christ. And no matter what, and any of my losses, his bedrock solid faith, I know that my Redeemer lives. And many of you who know this and gone through tragedies in life, lying on a bed of illness in a hospital, wondering what is going to become of me, and if I do not come off of this bed in a good way, what's going to become of my family? What's going to happen? And the Spirit of God rushes into you in a very powerful way, in a most manifesting way. He says, remember, I am the Lord your God. I am your Redeemer. I will keep you. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will hold you. I will keep you. I am the Lord who heals. And no matter what, in the situations in our life, Job's knowledge that he possessed, he said, I know it, I know it, I know it. You see all these things right here in this Old Testament passage that you and I believe and declare from the New Testament, because as we live in the New Testament age, I know, and the scriptures say these things are written that you may know that you have what? Eternal life, and have it to the full. These things, the Word of God, they are written for us to know. And we come way back in this very ancient word and situation and matter and occasions in Job's life. And he says, you know what, church of 2022? He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. He said, oh, that my words would be inscribed in stone with an iron pen. Well, they were, weren't they? They are forever in the eternal writ right here. And we have this, we see this, and we read this. And even after my body decays and the dust lies in the earth for perhaps thousands and thousands of years, yet I know I will see my God. I will see him not only by faith when I depart from this life, but he says, I will see him in a glorified body. I will see him as he brings me back up out of the grave. I will see him. For it is only God that can raise us and bring us all together. And so it is certainly a great word for us to know that we can trust the Lord. You know, a thought came to me as I was preparing this, and I remembered something that I had read long before, and I frantically tried to find it, and it's back in the files somewhere, but I could not find it. But it doesn't matter. It went something like this, and the fact that in the early church, as they would greet each other on Sunday mornings and at other times, their greeting to one another would be, he is risen. They lived in such the freshness of the resurrection of Christ. and the joy that ever flowed from their hearts and all that they were going through as Christian persecution was already getting bloody and coming upon the early church. And they would greet each other in spite of it all, and they say, "He is risen." And the response would be, "He is certainly risen indeed. He is the Lord, the Almighty." And then another great a line that would be so prominent in the days of the Puritans in the 1600s and 1700s, and they would meet each other and they would say, "Is it well with your soul, brother? Is it well with your soul, sister? Is it well with your soul?" And then we sing that great old song, "It is what? Well with my soul. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know He lives. He lives within my heart." And the affirmation of Scripture, we know the Lord Jesus lives. You know, in our own lives, when we go through times and seasons in our journey of even of personal failure, just the sorrow of life, just as already mentioned, when something happens that changes our life forever. And briefly, as I walked through the living room this morning en route down the steps and coming out, Tony Evans was on the TV and he's talking about preaching on the detours of destiny. I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is we're gonna stay off church for half an hour. Let me listen to this, then I'll be there. When things happen that detour our lives, I don't know what he had to say about it, but you know from Tony, it is always good. And, you know, the seasons of painful sorrow, when things just happen, you know, all of a sudden, you know, a child says, my mama is suddenly dead, or my mama has passed. And a husband says, my wife was taken, my child is dead. My child is dead. These seasons of sorrow that are held deeply in our hearts. And unless we have the saviorship of Christ, we will be consumed in these, even under the most calmest and expected moments in life. When God moves a great change in our heart, and when He says, "Don't be afraid, it is me. It is me. Trust me and rest in me. For I am the Lord and there is no other." But when people say, you know, "I don't know how a good God can allow these things," we hear Job shout from years, thousands of years earlier, and he says, "Yeah, that's right. And I said it myself, and I still don't know. But this I do know. I know that my Redeemer lives, and on the earth one day He shall stand. And upon Him and in Him and by Him and through Him I live, I die, I am raised, and eternally I rejoice in the Lord, the Almighty." You know, Job speaks this with such certainty, church. It's incredible. And again, you know it is true. You know this was Job's heart. Because here it is in the Word. It's solid. So we feast on this. Now, when we say, instead of saying, "I know," and as a Christian even, many people say, "Well, I hope so, I trust so," instead of saying, "I know," that is like for Christ, you know, as we read there, He was offered vinegar mixed with gall. When we don't have that assurance of Christ in the heart and in matters and situations in our own life or in the lives of those who are close to us, but when we can't say, "I know it's going to be okay, I know this is Jesus, and I know, and I don't like it, I hate it, but I'm going to trust Him, I know." And if you can't say, "I know," it's just like in your hope and in your faith in the Lord, it's almost like getting stung by a whole bunch of wasps, and the faith takes a beating. And the journey of some of you here in this church, and what, you know, it's been so sudden change, and then the journey afterwards has been so far less than what you wanted to be. But yet you keep the faith, you keep the trust in God. How do you do that? It is the work of the Redeemer in your life by the work of His Holy Spirit. And so, and this is why we, as we study in Philippians, where Paul says, my desire, my goal in life is that I may know him. Job says, I know. Paul says that I want to know him deeper and deeper and deeper with such certainty. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We know that the Lord lives for me. He has redeemed me. And as Psalm 139, 11 said, with Christ, in Christ, and by Christ, even darkness is light to me. Even the darkness in my life, in Christ, is light to me. Muse on that for a while. The Lord Jesus. So Job, you know, he doesn't live his life, and neither do we, Christian, build on presumption or supposition or anything like that. We know it is a rock-solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? It has everything to do with Mother's Day. It has everything to do with Father's Day. It has everything to do with Children's Day. Everything to do with every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every life, every heart and life. But we have another example as well. Pre-cross. Pre-death of Christ. Pre-resurrection. By Mama Zebedee. The mother of James and John. She comes, and you find this account there in Matthew chapter 20. Her bold request of Jesus. She believed, I know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. She did not say that. You will not find that in the scripture there. But that's what she believed. You are the Messiah. You are the one who was slain in the eternal counsels of God. You are the one who has been promised for thousands upon thousands of years. We watched you. We have seen you. And we know thy works. You are the Son of God. And she makes this very bold request for her boys. Oh, Jesus, grant that my boys would sit on one side and on your right and the other side on your left in your kingdom. This is a mama's heart and how she loved the Lord Jesus Christ and praying for her sons and comes right to the very presence of Jesus. Jesus, grant please my boys. Whose boys? Mama Zebedee's boys. Grant them my boys. She wanted her boys to belong into the kingdom first of all. And a mother who prays for the salvation of her sons, her daughters, it is the burden of her heart. First of all, Jesus, that my boys, my daughters, are born again into your kingdom. Let them not go, Father. She wanted her boys there. You know, knowing that for our children and in our life, death comes all too soon, either to the mom or to her child. And the only matter in life that must be settled of any iota of importance at all is that your child is born again in Christ. Jesus said so. And on level one statement, right from his mouth, that's your red letter edition Bible, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And I must be lifted up on that cross. She wanted her sons to belong to the kingdom. She wanted her sons to be actively involved in the kingdom. Now, if you're going to be sitting on the right and the left, first of all, you're in the kingdom. That's the only way that could ever happen. And to be actively involved, if you've got, you know, prime seats, prime chairs of diligence and execution and just prominence in the kingdom. That's what she wanted. She says, she's praying, I don't want my boys just to be pew sitters on a Sunday morning. I don't want my children to simply have their names on the roll. I want my children not only to experience water baptism, Lord Jesus, but I want them to be serving you actively in your kingdom. I want them to go forth bearing the name of Jesus Christ. I would desire, Lord Jesus, that my sons and my daughters be strong and active in the leadership of the church. That they would surely, you know, serve in ways small and unseen as well as things very visible. But I want my children, Lord Jesus, grant that my sons will be active in the church, active in your kingdom. Your kingdom good is what she's praying. And I want my sons and my daughters to model Jesus Christ. That's my desire, Jesus. Not only that they're born again, not only that they're active, but she really gets bold and she says, I want them to be prominent and I want them to be powerful because I want them sitting to your right and to your left. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it. And at any time they struggle, Lord Jesus, stir up the genuine faith that is within them through their mama. And as was for Timothy, through his grandma. A lineage of faith that as Timothy had come to Christ at such a young age, but the prayers of mom, Lord, keep him moving, keep him growing, keep him pressing forward in your kingdom, prominent and powerful, that the world may know. I want my sons and my daughters to be so identified with Christ that everybody will know it. With a heart that is true, a heart that is glad, a heart that is sold out to Christ. This is my prayer. This is my asking, Jesus. This is what I'm calling for you to grant for my sons in your kingdom as you sit upon your throne. Motherhood requires strong hearts. And you say, yeah, preacher, let me tell you about it. Yeah. The Lord Jesus, when you go through the darkest of valleys, as so declared for us in Psalm 23, you will know that your Redeemer lives. We all go through many dark valleys in our life when things are so unsure and things are just so out of our control. And we have but to look unto the Lord. And when the day comes, as the song we just sang, whether I shall meet him in the air or I shall walk the veil with him. When we walk death's trail, the pathway, and our steps become fewer and fewer and fewer till they cease to be and thereby lie on our back, on our bed, until the Lord calls home. I know that my Redeemer lives. No matter what I may suffer, what I have to go through. And for the most part, that's really what most Christians are concerned about. It's, well, I know when I die, I know where I'm going. But that which yanks at my heart, what am I going to have to go through? But yet I know my Redeemer lives, and he'll be right with me through it all. Through it all. He's the Lord. So he says here in verse 28, you know, they say, what are we going to do with this guy? What are you going to do to me? He says, the root of the matter is in me. What do we mean, the root of the matter? Just like the strong, deep roots of a mighty oak, that's what establishes the tree. If there was no roots, if something eats off the roots, well, the tree will fall even before the storm comes. But he says, the root of the matter, when I say, I know that my Redeemer lives, he says, the root of the matter is in me. Do what you want with me. Because I know that I know that I know that I am Christ. And I know that I know that I know that my Redeemer lives and he's seated on the throne right now and he's coming soon. I know this. Do you know this with such certainty that you can declare no matter what you're going through? Let it be as the Lord wills. For I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. And on the earth one day, he shall stand. And I'll be with him. The Lord. Do you know? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you pressing to know him deeper? As you pray for your sons and your daughters, parents, that they will be strong in the kingdom of God and a life that will follow them long into eternity. Christ, Christ, he is our hope in the darkest of times. The darkest of times. He is still the light of the world and the light that dawns upon every heart. Trust in him at all times, you peoples. Trust in him at all times. Father. Father. How great is your name. And by your mercies, grace, the joy that we have in our hearts, and we can say, even if it is in a most feeblest way, I know that my Redeemer lives. And until he comes back, he will hold me firmly. He will not let me go. Through events from without or from within, I am the Lord's and he is mine. His mercies and his love ever upon me. His grace abounds for faith to increase. Because it is in Christ we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and on and on and on. We thank thee, God, and we bless you. Oh, this old word from Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. Such a powerful and wonderful word to encourage us in this day in which we live. And that no matter what, our eyes are fixed upon Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising not the cross, oh, but he endured it all. He is the Lord and shepherd of his people. Lord Jesus, save the lost. Save the lost. And strengthen us all to greater, greater love and oneness and likeness to Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So let's stand and sing. You know, there, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's the very words of Job. And it's a psalm that's not in our current hymn books. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And if you do not have that knowledge of assurance, you come today. You come today. You come today. You receive Christ. And oh, how your heart will rejoice. Let us sing.
Shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. Die, though cruel death may
Said, yes, we know your word declares, by faith we know Christ lives. By the Spirit of God dwelling in the believer, we know Christ lives. Your word declares you live, Jesus, and your word, it cannot die. Thank you, Lord. You are our hope and our stay. Establish and settle us, dear God, in greater faith in thee. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bless as we go on from this place. May your face shine upon us. Truly, dear God, may we hear your voice and know it and follow you even deeper. May our faith rise. May we find much greater love and diligence in the word, in meeting with you in prayer. Thy kingdom come, God. Keep us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.